Shocker, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you today?
Hey, I'm all right, man.
Bizarre, eh?
Very bizarre, but clearly the fact that he's doing it in Toronto, to me, it would seem like this was planned.
Yeah, probably somewhat. I mean, look, Alan Walsh is at the helm of this thing, right? I think we all know Alan Walsh. He's very active on Twitter. He's very vocal. He's not afraid to get into it with people on Twitter. He's not afraid to make his feelings known. He's defending his clients constantly. He's always being very vocal and public with everything that he feels strongly about. So none of this is really a surprise to me because it's Alan Walsh at the helm of this thing. And I'm, you know, look, I guess if you're a player and you want somebody that's willing to fight for you, then Alan Walsh is your guy because he's fighting everybody and anybody that has anything to say about it.
If you're Tampa Bay, do you remedy this situation quickly, or do you take a hard stance and now say, son, we're going to teach you a lesson? What do you think happens?
Well, there's a couple of issues that they have here. The issues are Drouin hasn't been as good an NHL player yet, and he's only 20 years old. So I think Steve Yzerman has an idea in his mind of what this player is going to be and what his value is. The problem is he's not there yet. And so to try and find a trade that he feels like is, you know, try and find a trade that makes sense and that his fair value is going to be really difficult. So I think, you know, when Yzerman says he's going to do what's best for the organization, I think he means it. I think if a deal comes up that makes sense, you fire the guy out of town and just have it be done. But I think that in lieu of that, yeah, you got to play hardball with him.
You know, young player, talented, and you talk to a lot of hockey people, and you know what? The GMs, a lot of them know one another. You know, some have better friendships with others. I'm curious how this is perceived by others. You know, because he's a number three overall pick, he will get a longer rope than if the kid was a second, third, or fourth round selection. I don't think there's any argument about that. But some old school thinkers will be like, we don't want this guy.
Yeah, I think so. At least they don't want, maybe it tempers what they're willing to give up for him. And maybe that's why it's harder for Yzerman to find a deal. I mean, if somebody thinks they can steal Jonathan Drouin because of this situation, then maybe there's a, you know, maybe somebody would be happy to bring him in if they feel like they can get him at a bargain because of what's going on. But is it, are you willing to pay full market value for Jonathan Drouin because he's in this bad situation and give up something significant for him? I don't know if the team would be willing to do that. Just, this isn't a great, like, it's not a great look for Drouin. It's really not. He hasn't, it's not like every other organization out there is looking at this going, holy smokes, what a travesty that he hasn't been a regular NHLer yet. I mean, I've watched Drouin play. I've watched him play with the Lightning. I've seen him live. I understand this player, and he's got some really good offensive skills, but his all-around game has kept him out of the NHL. He just hasn't been consistent enough producing-wise, and he's a bit of a train wreck in his own zone. So it's deficiencies in his game that are keeping him from being where he wants to be. Now, would he be on a number of other NHL lineups and rosters? Sure. He happens to be for a team that went to the Cup final and that is pretty deep. But, I mean, the future of Steven Stamkos is very much up in the air in Tampa. And if Jonathan Drouin had a little bit of patience here, he could find himself in a good situation soon. But he ran out of patience here for some reason.
Corey Hirsch, former NHLer, just tweets out, on poor advice from an agent, I refuse to go to the AHL as when suspended. All it did was lose me money and hurt my reputation. Then he hashtag Drouin, basically saying, and he hopes that maybe that's not the case, but it would seem that way, Ryan, because you know what?
Yeah.
You're kind of letting your ego get in the way, and I'm sure Drouin's frustrated and everything else, but his career is not going to be made or broken over a three-week stint in the American League.
No, I don't think so. And he should just go there and play and then let Steve Yzerman and his agent sort it out. Just play well enough to prove to people that he belongs in the National Hockey League, and he'd put up some points down there already. So he should be taking the easier path here and just going down there and showing everybody why he belongs in the NHL. But, you know, 3 points in 7 games isn't exactly banging the door down. So now what? Now his offensive confidence is in the American League is shot. And maybe the agency is just heading down a bad path where the team won't keep him in the NHL. He's not producing in the American League. The value is diminishing, making a trade less likely. And this guy will just end up kind of getting buried there for the time being. And so I don't know, man. I don't think this is a smart play.
Sugar, Edmonton Oilers last night, mistake-filled game for both teams. Sadly, though, the Oilers, and which I don't mind. I'm not criticizing. I don't mind in a game or in a league this year where it seems to be a very few entertaining games. Hey, last night the Oilers storm out of the third period, 2 goals. Everyone's fired up, and then, unfortunately, the major error where, the goaltender, just such a bad decision. And he didn't really even get close. That was the problem. He wasn't close to getting that puck.
Yeah, that was a really bad decision. And, people make decisions, I agree with you, but it's a tie game, and that's a point in time where, as a pro athlete, you gotta have control over your decision-making. And he had probably more time than most people get to decide what to do there. And maybe that's the problem, is he had too much time to make that decision and hesitated a little too long. I mean, quite often they're just split second decisions that need to be made, and he overthought it, and off he goes, hesitates, and then off he goes, and it was a bad mistake, and it cost them the go ahead goal at the wrong time, and the Oilers couldn't get it back. And I mean, that's a big reason why they lost the game. The Oilers fought their way back in, and he made a mistake. Mistakes happen. So I mean, we don't need to bury him over it, but let's be honest, that mistake happens in a tie game that the Oilers had battled their way back into, and that's on him. That's just the way it goes. Just like that goal that Talbot let in at the end of the Calgary game, mm-hmm. That's on him. And guys have to be willing to own mistakes, and Nielsen, I think, is a guy that has been. So was there lots of other mistakes that happened through the game? Sure. But the point is, in a 2-2 tie game, when the goalie does that, it's a mistake, and it's on him. So, he'll get a chance to bounce back at some point, probably not till well after the All-Star break.
And that leads me to my next question, Shar. Sorry to interrupt. But
No.
7 starts for Nielsen. He's been terrible. He's allowed 30 goals in 7 starts. When you're and during that same time span, Talbot's save percentage is .939, right? And you've got Nielsen at about .965, or .865, excuse me. It's the drop off is significant to the point where, and I ask you this because I looked at the schedule. There's 2 opportunities for the Oilers if they want to, because you can send Nielsen down. Doesn't require waivers, right? We figured that out earlier in the year. So. Mm-hmm. You could send him down on coming out of the All-Star break on Wednesday the 3rd, go down to the American League for the weekend, bring up Brassois because you do play 2 afternoon games on the Saturday and the Sunday at noon, right? So you can play Brassois in one of them, probably against mm-hmm. the Habs because they're terrible right now. And then you could just switch them back because it does no good to have Brassois be your backup where Cam Talbot's going to play the majority of your games. You could do it then, or easier travel, you could do it late in the month on February 26th and 27th and switch them out and have Brassois play a game and have Nielsen go down and play 2 games on the weekend. Is that something you would consider?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. If Laurent Brassois is playing really, really well and is pushing the envelope of the American League, and there's no waiver ramifications, and there's no risk of losing anybody or anything like that, then yeah, absolutely, I would throw the kid a couple of starts this year. What an ideal situation to be able to get your up-and-comer some NHL action in back-to-back scenarios. So I would consider it if I were them. I mean, that's tough for Nielsen, and that, mm-hmm. that would be really tough to take. But I would say the way that it's going, if Nielsen continues to be where it's at, are they prepared for Laurent Brassois to come up and be a backup next season? Is that what's in the cards for them? Or do they want another stopgap guy for another year? I guess, and maybe that plays into it a little bit, what their plans are for next year. If they want to see how Brassois can handle a few NHL starts to know if they need to have a backup goalie in the offseason or if they've got their guy, then yeah, bring him up. Give him a look. See how he does. It'll be tough for Nielsen, but if you point to the numbers and say, what do you expect? As long as he, understands why it's happening. I mean, if he's not playing well, he's not playing well.
No. And I honestly think, Ryan, Brassois has had 1 full season as the NHL starter.
Yeah.
I would still look to have him play there for, you know, bringing a guy who, yeah, you can come to camp and compete, but get a guy in a one-year deal as your backup who's got more experience, and a guy who, if he's only going to play 15 games, it's better to be him than have Lauren Brossoit only play 20 games, right, in the NHL? And then wait until Brossoit, because he doesn't need waivers again next year. So there's no risk rushing him. And I think letting a young guy in that position just dominate the league, I don't think it's a negative at all for one more year.
No, I don't either. And you know, part of what needs to be considered is, what does Cam Talbot need behind him? What's the right kind of backup to have for Cam Talbot? Do you need a guy who you maybe got to pay a little bit more money to, but who could also potentially, you know, take some games from him and push him for the starting job? Do you want Cam Talbot to be pushed by somebody that's a little bit higher end? Or do you go with a clear-cut backup who Talbot's the number one, there's quite a margin between them, and it's just very clearly a guy who's there to fill time till Brossoit is ready? You know, what's the right situation in 1-2 tandem with Cam Talbot going into next year, where he's, once again, clearly the number one guy? What caliber goalies you need backing him up? And I think they need to consider that a little bit as well.
Shocker, have yourself a fantastic evening. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, man. Sounds good. You too.